Our New Testament reading this morning is from Philippians, chapter 1, verses 21 through 31. Hear now the word of our Lord. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Jesus Christ will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. And this is the word of our Lord. Paul has written his letter to the Philippians near the end of his life. He has a couple years yet to live, and then he will be condemned to death by the Roman authority. But Paul's health had been deteriorating. He had spent so much time in prison and so much time in physical distress. Don't you recall in the book of Acts, when he was in the city of Derbe, he was stoned until believed to be and possibly was dead. He was stoned and thrown out of so many cities, and yet he returned. And his 40 years of ministry was like this. Always being pursued by authorities, always being accused of wrongdoing, always, and over again. Yet the word of God grew as he traveled throughout the world of the Gentiles, our world. As he had traveled throughout the world outside of Israel, preaching God's word, preaching Jesus Christ only. And it took its toll on his body. And obviously at this point, Paul felt that merely by willing himself to do so, he could give in and die. And that was what he wanted to do. But that wasn't what God was calling him to do. And he yielded to what God was calling him to do and said, I will remain because it's better for you that I be here to strengthen you, to nurture you. There's more that I can do. What is God calling you to do? What is the Holy Spirit tugging at you to do? It's very hard for us to know what difference we will make. Paul saw the increase of Christianity coming all around him. But it wasn't always that way. Paul's first visits to many of these communities resulted in chaos, in catastrophe. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. He was thrown out. He was taken up and held prisoner with authorities. He was warned to stop. I don't know what it is that God is calling you to do, but I do know that the Holy Spirit is calling you to do something. And I know this because it's always been that way. God uses all things for good, and God's ways are not our ways, and they're hard for us to understand. They're so vast, they are forever. And they're everywhere. And it's more than we can grasp. But we can have glimpses. We can have glimpses into how God's plan works. And of course, you know, my favorite is the glimpse we have into the life of Joseph. Joseph strolled out in his many color robes to check up on his brothers as his father had told him to do. This youngest son, born late in his father's life and despised by his older brothers because he was so favored, being unexpected, I'm sure, being so much younger than his older brothers who were adults. And they were going to kill him, yet they relented and threw him in the well and then sold him into slavery. And this had to be. Now, Joseph couldn't have known it had to be when he was in the well looking up at the light way above him in the darkness and the creepy crawly things all around him. And Joseph couldn't have known that when he was tied and bound and sold over into slavery and the caravan hauled him off to Egypt. But Joseph believed that God had a need for him and God had a use for him and that it would be revealed. And when he was thrown in prison after being falsely accused in Egypt, Joseph believed that God had a plan for him. He didn't know what it was, but he knew that God had a plan for him. And as you know, that plan was to be this salvation of the people of Israel, the chosen people. Because of Joseph, they could come and have food in a time of great famine in Egypt, and they could live and they could grow in number and grow in number over the next 400 years to become a great nation. Joseph didn't know that was God's plan. But Joseph obeyed the little details that God gave him. And we're not required to know the plan. We're not required to understand the plan, but we are required to obey God in the details. We are required to obey God's call upon our lives to serve. It might be as simple as going and speaking to somebody about Jesus Christ, getting outside of your comfort zone. Doing something that is completely foreign to you, completely uncomfortable to you, and yet doing it because the Holy Spirit is calling you to do so, even though you don't understand how that's going to be part of the plan. There was a young Jewish girl named Esther, who's lost both of her parents. We don't know how. We don't know whether it was illness or violence, but she lost both of her parents. And she went to stay with her uncle. And her uncle took care of her, nurtured her, and raised her in the Jewish faith. And this was a time when the Jews were dispersed throughout the world, but all of the known world at that time was under the control of Persia. They were all under Persian rule. And we don't know why, but the king's wife died and he needed a wife. And so the most beautiful women in all of Persia were sought to be a wife for the king. And Esther's uncle submitted Esther for consideration. The Holy Spirit moved him, and he warned Esther not to tell them right away that she was Jewish, because the Jewish people were a minority and despised by the Persians. And she was selected to be the king's wife. She obeyed her uncle. Later on, it was Esther, who, as queen of Persia, who was told by her uncle that a decree had been put out to kill every Jew in all of Persia, and that she must go to the king and seek the king to stop the decree and to allow the people, the Jews, to live. And she told her uncle, she said, you don't understand. She's telling him through letter, because he was taken captive. And she said, you don't understand. I can't just approach the king. Anybody who approaches the king without being summoned is immediately put to death unless the king raises his scepter to spare them. And her uncle wrote back to her, Esther, if you don't do this, many Jews will be killed. And if you don't do this, what God is commanding you to do, even though it may risk your life, you will be condemned. And Esther replied, I will do as I am commanded. And if I am to die, then I am to die. And she did. And because of her, the Jews were spared. We don't know what God's plan is. But the good news is, we don't need to know what God's plan is. We only know that God is calling us to serve Him. The Holy Spirit is beckoning you and me to answer that call. It may be that you are being called to help someone that you wouldn't normally stop to help. It may be that you are called to give something you wouldn't normally be willing to give. But whatever it is that you are asked to do, just as it was with Paul, it will cost you. You'll have to give up something you want. You'll have to pass up on something you want to do. You'll have to put yourself at risk. Paul wanted to come home to Christ. Paul was tired. Paul had spent 38 years serving Jesus Christ, and he wanted to come home. But it wasn't the will of the Holy Spirit that he do this. The Holy Spirit had worked in Paul's life, don't you know? We know that Paul was knocked down on the road to Damascus, and he was And Jesus Christ spoke to him himself. But I believe that Paul had been prepared for this. Even though Paul was carrying on with a vengeance in persecuting Jews and was on his way to persecute the Jews in Damascus, I believe that God had used Stephen, the first Christian martyr, that God had used Stephen to work on Paul's heart, to prepare his heart to hear the words of Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. I believe that God even allowed Stephen's life to be sacrificed, to be stoned to death, so that Stephen could raise his hand and say, God forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Jesus Christ, take my soul. When Paul witnessed this, this had to strike Paul's heart. It was part of God's plan. Paul didn't know it. I don't know that Stephen knew it. But Stephen did what Stephen was called to do, and it affected Paul. And we know this because Paul talked about this so many times that he did this thing to Stephen. We know that it had tugged upon his heart. Now, I don't know if God will call upon you or me to give our lives so that his word can be proclaimed, so that someone else will believe, but he could. Most of the time in our lives, God is calling us to do something that is not quite so dangerous as it was for Esther. Not to death as it was to Stephen. And not so overwhelmingly painful and burdensome as Paul went through in his mission. Most of the time, what God is calling me to do and you to do is to step outside of our comfort zone, is to inconvenience ourselves, is to do without something we would like to keep for ourselves that will improve the lives of others, is simply to give of our wealth or our little that we have and share, to simply give of our time, to give of our emotion. I don't know what it is. But I do know that the Holy Spirit calls upon every believer to serve. Partly because the Holy Spirit needs you and I to serve. And I think mostly because the Holy Spirit knows that if we do not serve, we are not ready for the kingdom. It's that service to one another, it's that loving one another in a way that matters, in a way that makes a difference, sometimes in a way that hurts, that prepares us for the kingdom. Throughout all of history, God has been using his people in his work. God has been using his people to build the kingdom. And nothing has changed in that. That didn't end with the final verses in the New Testament. That is continuing today. God is using his people to serve one another, to complete his plan to build the kingdom. And God will use you to build his kingdom, to complete his plan. But you have to answer the call. You have to listen. You have to be quiet and sit still and pay attention. You have to spend time in prayer. You have to spend time reading his word and wearing out the pages and underlining and marking and dwelling upon his word. That's what we're called to do. We're called to make Jesus Christ an intimate part of our life. Not a thing we do on Sunday. Not a thing we do on special occasions, but an integral part of your everyday life. Listening to His call, answering His call, even when it hurts. Amen.